Hey, this is Nick Gelso, co-owner and founder of CLNS Radio. Today's podcast is brought to you by Lynda.com. Lynda.com is the home of expert video tutorials. Because you're such a loyal listener of CLNS Radio, and it's 2015, you want to kick the new year off in style, claim your free trial today from CLNS by going to Lynda.com/CLNS. That's LYNDA.com/CLNS. Now on to your regularly scheduled program.
Welcome to the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com.
Off the turnover, Rondo reverse, banks it in.
Fans, this is your destination for interactive Celtics coverage all season long.
Kelly still has time, takes it.
So what are you waiting for? We want to hear from you. Dial in at 347-215-7771.
Green out of the corner. Got another one.
Now let's get it started.
Welcome into CLNS Radio's coverage, post-game coverage of Celtics versus Pistons. The Boston Celtics get an important win tonight against the Detroit Pistons by a score of 113-103. Tonight's CLNS Radio Celtics postgame show is powered by a couple of our different partners. First of all, Audible. You can claim your free trial to Audible by going to audiblepodcast.com/Celtics. We are also powered tonight by Lynda.com. Get your free trial there, Lynda.com/CLNS. And, of course, from our friends at Peak Brewing, you can follow them on Twitter and Instagram by going to @PeakBrewing or go to Facebook.com/PeakBrewing to like them on Facebook. As we said, a must-win battle against the Detroit Pistons tonight, and the Celtics come up with a victory 113-103. I'm going to be breaking it down here, and I'm going to be joined in a little while, hopefully, by our friend Timmy Scalfani from Celtics 24/7, another one of our networking partners here. You can visit Celtics247.com and search for Tim on Facebook and Twitter as well to find his work. We're going to have everything covered for you tonight. Obviously, a very important game for the Celtics' playoff hopes. And with the victory tonight, the Celtics, as we speak, are in the seventh slot in the Eastern Conference. So securing themselves a position here. They still have some tough games left to go. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But definitely want to break this game down tonight. Again, the Celtics come out victorious 113-103. If you watch the broadcast on Comcast, which I did, although the game was nationally televised on ESPN tonight, Brian Scalabrine, who was on with Mike Gorman, mentioned quite a bit, and he was absolutely right, that this was a game of runs, and the Celtics just happened to have more runs in them than the Detroit Pistons, and it led to them getting the victory tonight by a score of 113-103. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at CLNS Radio to get your thoughts in. Use the hashtag onboard. Bobby Kravitsky will have you covered over there. But you can also call 347-215-7771 to let your voice be heard with Tim and myself tonight. And you can get involved in the action and give your thoughts as the Celtics come out victorious over the Detroit Pistons. One game closer to clinching a playoff spot, one victory closer. So we'll keep our eye on the scoreboard and see what else transpires tonight. But I'm going to bring in my co-host, Tim Scalfani from Celtics 24/7. Thanks so much for joining us. We look forward to you joining us on the Celtics postgame show. So first impressions of this one tonight. Celtics get a big victory over the Detroit Pistons, a little bit of revenge from last week. What are your thoughts on this game tonight?
Sean?
Yes.
Hi. If I could give you one impression, I would have to say tonight belonged to Isaiah Thomas.
Absolutely. I mean, this guy has all he's done is come in since he was traded here and give this team a spark. He had 34 points tonight. Also chipped in with 6 assists and 3 rebounds. 10 of 17 shooting and 10 of 11 from the free throw line. There was a point in this game where he had 15 points, two shots. So he ends up with 10 for 17, 34 points. You're absolutely right. I mean, he was getting anywhere he wanted to go on the floor, and it led to the Celtics being able to kind of hold off the Detroit Pistons and their big runs. They won on a couple of big ones. The Celtics were up 16 early. Detroit came back, got within one. Celtics extended the lead again. Pistons kept coming, but at the end, the Celtics were a little bit too much. Other big contributors tonight, Jay Crowder. This is a typical stat line for Jay Crowder, Tim. And I'll get your thoughts on him in a second here. But 17 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists, 4 of 8 shooting, 9 for 9 from the free throws. So the Celtics went to the free throw line a number of times tonight. They were 33 of 34 from the free throw line tonight. And they were getting to the line. Leads me to believe they were going to the hoop a lot. But before we get to that, Tim, your thoughts on Jay Crowder and his contribution, not only tonight in this game, but since the trade for Rajon Rondo. Obviously we haven't been on the air before, so I want to get your thoughts on a lot of things going on with this team, but particularly right now with Jay Crowder. He seems to be one of those scrappy guys that just does everything that needs to be done to win a game. And he proved it again tonight with a 17-6 and 3 tonight.
That's right. Jay Crowder, one of my favorite players this year on the Celtics. Easily the biggest benefit to come from the Rondo trade. He was a plus 23 from the floor tonight. So I'd say Isaiah Thomas, probably their best player, followed immediately by Jay Crowder. Shot 9 for 9 from the line, which contributed to that 97% that they shot from the free throw line.
It's funny because, the amount of times I've seen, this discrepancy in the free throws go the other way. The Celtics tonight had 34 attempts at the free throw line. The Pistons only had 10 attempts at the free throw line. So they were settling for the perimeter shots, 84 shots total to be exact for them. But, huge stat for the Celtics tonight to be able to go to the line 34 times and hit 33 of them.
Right. And the discrepancies for the Celtics, you've seen some nights where they've shot 60 or 70% from the free throw line, and that's bit them and been the cause of them losing some close games. And tonight they come out and shoot 97%, and they have a pretty convincing win in a big game.
They really did need this victory. I mean, obviously with Indiana in the return of Paul George and obviously Miami, hot on their trail. Charlotte's still kind of hanging around, although they've lost a couple games and they're kind of dropping off here. It's basically between Brooklyn, the Celtics, the Pacers, and the Heat for two spots to round out the Eastern Conference here. So the Celtics did well for themselves to be able to get this victory. And they had contributions from a number of different players, not just the couple that we mentioned, but Brandon Bass had huge contributions, and Avery Bradley kind of struggled from the field tonight, but still had a couple of big shots there. And Kelly Olynyk, 12 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists from here. He was running the floor like he does. He was getting rewarded for that. And, the Celtics had some great contributions off the bench tonight. Again, if you look at the bench stats, and this is, happening pretty much every game, the Celtics had 73 points off the bench tonight. So 73 of their 113 points were from bench players tonight. That's a huge stat. What does that tell you? How does that jump off the page to you with this team and how Brad Stevens is coaching them, that they're able to get more points from their bench players than they are from their starters?
I think that just goes to show the depth of the Celtics team. I mean, you look at a team like Oklahoma City that's getting the bulk of their points right from their starters, whereas tonight the Celtics starters, Evan Turner was a minus 18. Brendan Bass, though he had a good night, was a minus 10. And then off the bench, Isaiah Thomas was a plus 35. Jay Crowder was a plus 23. Earlier on in the game, Kelly Olynyk, at the end of the second half, I can't find the number right here, but I mean, all of those guys off the bench were really when the Celtics were firing tonight.
I think it helps when... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I just think it shows the depth of the team, and I think that's what makes them a real threat for other teams. When other teams put in their second unit, that can be when the Celtics start to catch up to you.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously it helps, 73 points off the bench when 34 of it comes from one player in Isaiah Thomas.
So, that's true.
like I said, he's been a huge spark plug off of the bench for the Celtics, and obviously he was out for a little while there, going hard to the hoop and getting knocked down and had the back bruise on his back, and it took him a while to come back, and obviously it was important that he was able to heal, because they're going to need him, particularly if they make it to the playoffs. But another just huge contribution from them tonight. He seemed to be able to get anywhere that he wanted to go. Now, maybe one knock on Isaiah Thomas that I've seen from watching him play for the Celtics, I didn't see him much playing for the Suns and the Kings, obviously, because he was in the Western Conference. But he can get kind of out of control sometimes and start to turn the ball over. Obviously that could be an issue. But tonight, only two turnovers for him tonight. So he was in control of the ball. Talk more about Isaiah Thomas and what he was able to do. And then we'll check with Bobby and see if there's any calls on the call line. So we'll get to your calls at 347-215-7771 in a minute. But I just want to check with you in what Isaiah Thomas was able to do against the Pistons' non-defense tonight, because obviously they weren't able to cover him.
That's right. He did only have two turnovers on the stat sheet. During that third quarter run where the Pistons went 11-0, I did feel like Isaiah Thomas was, like you said, he was getting out of control or he would take a bad shot. Tonight, however, I felt like he was a little better when he found himself outside the perimeter in a bad situation. He was pretty good about passing that ball off, which sometimes he isn't. I should let you know, I know we have a little bit of an interesting situation tonight. It does appear like there are some numbers waiting on the line from what I can see.
All right, good. Let's go to the call lines. Are you in the studio, Tim?
I am, yes.
All right, so if you have a call that is not my number or your number, my number is also a 978. I believe yours is as well. So if you've got a number that's not a 978 number, click that microphone and see if we can bring them on the air.
Okay, I got Mad Dog in Maine.
Mad Dog in Maine. All right, bring him right on. We love him. He's a normal caller
right.
of the show. So let's,
here we go.
Let's bring on Mad Dog in Maine.
Here we go.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Mad Dog, before I let you go, obviously congratulations to Duke for winning the national championship. Let's kind of try and keep the excitement to a minimum, as this is a Celtics post-game show.
Well, thank you. And this is the Celtics post-game show. And I displayed all my excitement on Careless Whispers last night. So,
I'm
so,
sure you did.
So,
I'll have to listen to that for sure.
So I will just leave it to that. But just about tonight, the performance by Isaiah Thomas and by Jay Crowder, and just the offensive performance overall by this team in a win that they had to have. They needed this win, and just absolutely incredible. And the way this team has performed since the Rondo trade, and it's just so fun to watch this team. Are they going to win the championship this year? No. But can they make things interesting in the playoffs by stretching a series out again? And this is where I want to go with this call, guys. I have a question that do you think that the Celtics, and this is my personal opinion, if they get Atlanta, I think that they can give Atlanta trouble. But if they get Cleveland, I just think that Cleveland with LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, I just think that they would have a lot of trouble even winning a game against Cleveland. I would like your opinion on that.
Tim, I'll let you go first, and then I'll chime in as well. But Tim Scalfani, what do you think about that?
All right. Well, I actually wrote an article on this exact topic on Topics 24/7. But Mad Dog, I could not agree more. I think if we get Atlanta in the first round, I think we have a good chance of taking them six, maybe even seven games. I'm not gonna get ahead of myself and say that we could win the series. Atlanta's a great team. But we have performed very well against them. We match up well against them.
They're banged up. They're a little bit banged up.
Exactly. They are. They are. Whatever happened last night, Cephalosha, and there's another player from Atlanta, I believe, arrested. I don't know how that'll fare, but again, if it's Cleveland, I agree. I'm not sure if I even see us winning one game. We don't really have one guy that can lock down LeBron James. And if someone does happen to take LeBron James, then they can go to Kyrie Irving. They can go to Kevin Love. And they just have so many legitimate scoring options who can be their number one option for that night. I don't think I see us being able to handle Cleveland in the playoffs. What do you think?
The last thing I would want is J.R. Smith to beat the Celtics, too. I can't stand that guy.
Oh, that would be unbearable.
I know. I agree with Mad Dog as well. And I talked about this on my own podcast and on Celtics post-game shows over the last, couple of weeks here, that, it seems more and more like the Celtics are going to have an opportunity to get at least the eighth seed, if not the seventh, where they sit right now. I think they do match up a little bit better with the Hawks. Obviously the Hawks have been dynamic this season. You look at their record, you look at some of the victories they've had, but the Celtics have played them very well. And these two teams historically have had some epic series, had some epic games. So why not have another epic series? Even though it's a first round matchup, I think the Celtics can do some damage. And if they play games like they did tonight on the road, and obviously if they're able to combat the runs like they did tonight, although I think Atlanta's a much more talented team than Detroit Pistons. Detroit does have some talent on their team. By all means, the Celtics could steal a couple of games from that series. Like Tim said, I'm not going to get ahead of myself and think for a second that they could get out of that first round. Anything could happen once you get to the playoffs. We know that. I think they do match up better against Atlanta. And ultimately, my feeling all along has been that it's a positive for the Celtics to get into the playoffs and get that experience for some of these young guys obviously we feel are going to be with the Celtics beyond the season, and allow them to get some experience. So, anything else, Mad Dog? Before we let you run here, I think we have a couple other calls on the line.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree that with Atlanta, that's your best chance to stretch out a series. I just don't see Cleveland as a good matchup for this team at all. But before I go, this is something that I think that we all watched today for the circumstances. It's a very, 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 very small silver lining for everybody that was affected 2 years ago. Just an absolute grand slam by the jury in the Boston bombing trials today, and it just brings it back to that memory. We all remember where we were, but. Just a shout out to all the victims and their families, and to wish them the best going forward. The families, victims going forward. I just wanted to throw that out there because I know that Sean, you're very emotional about this. I'm sure Bobby that you have your own opinions about it as well. But just an absolute home run for Boston today.
Couldn't agree more,
okay.
Man.
Guys, peace out, guys.
Being served. Appreciate the call and the support as always. Love the calls from Mad Dog. Mad Dookie fan, and he is very excited that Duke has won the national championship this season. So, I guess go to the CLNS Radio app and download the latest edition of Careless Whispers to hear Mad Dog wax poetic about Duke's championship, Tim.
He is a fan. I'm a little upset about the NCAA tournament because if Kentucky won, I was in line for a couple $100. That fell through, obviously, last Saturday.
I picked I picked Wisconsin. I still I did a little office pool with a couple of you know coworkers of mine.
Right.
All of them picked teams that were out before the before the Elite Eight. I think I had I had at least 3 out of 4. So I did win a little bit of money, and because Duke won, my wife won in her office pool. So together, I think we won over $100, which is pretty good.
Hey.
So we'll have a good time. We'll have a good time this weekend.
All right. Yeah, I guess so.
Give us a call, 347-215-7771. Got anyone else on the line waiting to come on?
Actually, I want to say, I believe the name was Seth. We had someone calling in about the playoff picture, and we just missed him when we were talking to Mad Dog, and he has hung up, and if he wants to call back, we're ready for him.
Yeah, please do, Seth. I actually know Seth.
Okay.
Work with him, and he's a huge Celtics fan. So, Seth, if you're still listening, give us a call back in. We'll bring you right on the air. What we like to tend to do, obviously, is first come, first serve with the callers. So, Mad Dog likes to get in even before we start the show most nights. So, but yeah, Tim, just give you a heads up. If he does come back on, we'll bring him right on the air and talk about the playoff picture, which we will be discussing. But obviously, the Celtics win this game tonight, 113-103. A great, great victory for the Celtics tonight. Very important in their quest to make the playoffs this season. And I'm calling up the standings as we speak. And I don't know if these – I don't believe these are updated with tonight yet. But it looks to be that the Celtics show in the eighth spot here. Tonight was their 37th win, Tim, am I correct?
I have them in the 7 seed with 36
okay.
wins.
Okay. All right. Because I'm looking at this, and like I said, I can't see how updated it is, but it does show them in the 8th spot behind Brooklyn. So
right.
We'll try to get some updated information on that.
Right, because I did just update the ESPN stats, and it has Boston in the 7th seed, tied with Brooklyn with 36 wins, 42 losses. So they hold the tiebreaker over Brooklyn with head-to-head record. Is that the case?
I believe that is the case, yeah. Yeah, this one hasn't updated the loss from the Nets tonight. So once that happens, what I'm looking at will be the same as well. So at any rate, obviously the Celtics have a couple of tough games coming up. Two against Cleveland, one against Toronto, one against Milwaukee. Now, obviously, with the victory tonight, it gives them, puts them one step closer. And if they are in the 7th seed and hold the tiebreaker, that would put them in a matchup against the Cleveland Cavaliers. So they could play them a lot in the next couple of weeks, 2 regular season games, and then obviously into the playoffs. So we might be seeing a lot of LeBron and Kyrie and Kevin Love. So we could talk about that a little bit later as well. But getting back to this game, I mean, obviously Detroit, not much to play for, playing for pride, trying to play spoiler perhaps as they sit, in what, 9, 10, like the 12th spot in the Eastern Conference.
Right.
No shot at making the playoffs right now. They're mathematically eliminated. But they have some talent on their team. Now, for all intents and purposes, it looks like Greg Monroe is going to be gone. They did just trade for Reggie Jackson. You imagine he's going to stick around. Caldwell Pope looked very good. They do have some talent. Andre Drummond obviously could be a beast down low. So the Celtics, it was beneficial for them to get this victory tonight, especially with the last 4 games coming up. Obviously with the runs coming back and forth, you want to be able to produce that. What did you see from them tonight that leads you to believe that they can, win a couple of these games, regardless of whether or not, Cleveland or Toronto or Milwaukee rest their players, to get ready for the playoffs? What do you see tonight that really leads you to believe that they can secure a playoff spot and do some damage in the playoffs?
Well, on average night from the Celtics, what I see is a team that passes the ball and really spreads the scoring out, which is what makes them such a good matchup for the Hawks. The Hawks play in a similar way. No clear-cut star, similar to the Spurs in the West Coast. I can't really say that was the case tonight, though, because, as we said, 34 points for Isaiah Thomas. he, when he saw the Celtics kind of starting to slip and get a little rustled up in the third quarter, he just took the entire game over. I mean, Thomas, Crowder, and Olynyk were all having good games prior to that, but as soon as the Celtics showed signs of letting Detroit back into the game, Isaiah Thomas just took it over. And with that said, the thing with the Pistons, and like you said, they're not playing for much, but it just highlights the fact that the Celtics, when it comes to protecting the rim, they just don't have much going on.
Yeah. I mean, Monroe and Drummond were really able to get right in there and get some easy hoops. I mean, Monroe had 19 points, 10 rebounds, and an assist. Drummond, 22 points and 14 rebounds for him on 11 of 19 shooting. And then Reggie Jackson was able to get to the rim and, you know, score a lot overall, had 21 points and 15 assists for Reggie Jackson tonight on 10 of 18 shooting. You look at the numbers, they had six players in double figures, including Meeks and Prince off the bench with 13 and 15 respectively. And, you know, I look at those numbers and I'm like, well, they probably won the game. And they did score 103 points tonight. But the Celtics were able to lock down on defense pretty good there in the third and fourth quarter. And that's where the Celtics were able to sustain the run. Marcus Smart didn't exactly have the best game offensively when you look at the box score, but his contributions were more than just what you see from that stat line, because 3 points and one assist on 1 of 5 shooting, you think Marcus Smart had a bad game, but he was getting in the passing lane. He had a couple of steals. He was locking down on guys. Bradley doing the same. Bradley also had 2 steals. Jay Crowder also had 2 steals. Kelly Olynyk also had 2 steals. So these guys were doing what needed to be done on the defensive end. Is that what's really going to make an impact, for them to be able to secure the playoff spot and maybe do some damage in the playoffs, is to be able to, go small, go quick, and wreak some havoc defensively, especially against a team like Cleveland, who really doesn't have, doesn't have a center, a big guy, so they can go small on the defensive end and do some damage.
Tough to say, because, like you said, tonight they really locked it down. I mean, to me, the most impressive thing is they only allowed 10 free throws from Detroit. So even, Kelly Olynyk, who's usually up there with, he did have 5 personal fouls, but still, they only sent him to the line, 5 times maybe. When it comes to the games later on before the playoffs, such as Cleveland, it's hard to really say, because I think what everyone in Boston is hoping is that LeBron James is going to be maybe benched for at least one of those 2 games now that Cleveland has secured that 2 seed. And like you said earlier, God forbid it's J.R. Smith or Kyrie Irving who's the one who comes out and scores 30 or 40 points. That's much more my concern against Cleveland than tonight is one of the games when you really have to deal with those big players down in the paint. And there's not as much of that going in these last 4 games, which is a good thing for the Celtics.
Yeah, and obviously one of the things that I think is going to be interesting to see in these last 4 games as the Celtics kind of tune up and try and lock this down is Jared Sullinger as well. I mean, he's just coming back from injury. Brad Stevens is handling him with kid gloves, obviously. He only played 10 minutes tonight, points and 2 rebounds in that 10 minutes. What kind of impact can he have, if any, and can he get back into the regular rotation where he's playing 15, 16, 18 minutes a game and contribute more to this? Or might he be a detriment to where the Celtics are looking to go because they've been doing so well without him in the lineup?
I've got to say, I'm not a Sullinger guy. He was obviously an impact player leading up to his injury, if it was an injury. I mean, that's what we're led to believe. Since coming back,
that sounds like you don't think so.
I don't know. They come out and say he's got a foot injury. Then it comes out that he's overweight, and then no update on his status, and all of a sudden he's back in the lineup 20 pounds
lighter. That's a great point. That's a great point, Tim. I haven't heard anybody say that. Maybe I just missed it, but that is an absolutely fantastic point by you. Maybe they just put him on the shelf for a little while to, you know, get into a little bit of shape and not have him, you know, in practices and in shoot arounds where the media guys are all over him. You shelf him for a little more than a month and let him get into a little bit better shape and then bring him back and slowly integrate him back in. I guess anything's possible at this point. I would love for this to have been a home game and Jared Weiss calling in to give us a little bit of inside info since he's actually in the TD Garden during home games. But that's definitely an interesting point there. I'd never even thought of that. I guess, you know, when it comes to injuries like that and, of course, all teams try and protect their players and maybe protect the injuries a little bit, some more than others. And, you know, it's different depending on the sport. Obviously, I would imagine that they would be truthful with their injuries. So we'll see what happens.
Well, you'd like to think so, but I mean, just like Rondo broke his hand last summer, I mean, it's always up in the air. You never know what they're really telling you. But what I was picturing with Sullinger, I don't know if you saw the movie Foxcatcher, but there's a scene where Channing Tatum's character is he needs to lose 12 pounds in 30 minutes or something, and he's on like a bike in a full sweatsuit trying to burn off the pounds. And that's what I picture Sullinger's been doing in the Celtics back for the last month.
Yeah, so, I would imagine that something to that effect. A little Eye of the Tiger in the background while he's
Yeah, exactly. But to answer your question, I don't know if I see him really having a huge impact over the next four games. I mean, potentially in the playoffs if they make it, but if he's playing 10 minutes a game, I mean, tonight he had a -9. He doesn't look quite up to speed out there, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, obviously with Brandon Bass, the way he's playing, and I think Olenek coming back, Zeller, the way he's been playing, not necessarily tonight, but overall, you know, even though Zeller just have 7 rebounds, Bass, 16 points and 4 rebounds, that's just consistent with him, 5 of 7 shooting. I happen to be a big Brandon Bass fan myself.
Oh, me too.
You know, obviously, he's been on the trading block, and people have been trying to run him out of town. Ever since he was traded for Glenn Davis, but he's just fundamental. He doesn't try to do too much. I know he's taken a few more threes than maybe Outhike, but when he goes to the hoop and he goes strong and plays bigger than he is, that's impactful. He's playing very impactful minutes, 20 minutes tonight in 16 points. I mean, that's phenomenal for a guy like him. And whether it's him starting or him coming off the bench, and obviously I think he's more comfortable with the role that he's in now, he's always out there making an impact, and I think that has certainly helped. But then you got a guy like Jay Crowder who's playing bigger than he is as well. Like I said, Olenek, Jarebko coming in there and making contributions and, working hard on defense. I don't think he's always been known as a big defender, but he – the effort is certainly there from a guy like Jonas Jerebko. So I think they've been able to sort of decide that they're going to slowly bring Sullinger back in and not rush him into playing 20 minutes a game, 25 minutes a game, and having to put the pressure on him to make an impact that way. It seems like, Brad Stevens has done a phenomenal job with this team, and obviously there's been inklings of him as coach of the year and the way that this team is playing for him now that this is really his team has been phenomenal. And you go no further than to see some of these guys and how they're playing. Evan Turner, for instance, I mean, he didn't have a great game tonight either. But he's had 3 triple doubles, and say what you will about the triple double stat. I mean, some people, obviously think it's bigger than it is. But when he's going out there and being a facilitator and being the point forward, and taking on a role that's sort of out of his comfort zone and thriving for the most part, other than tonight where he only had 4 points and and 2 rebounds and 4 assists on 2 of 5 shooting. But, you know, he's getting the best out of these players. And you mentioned this before, Tim, and I think it, you know, it bears repeating. They don't have any superstars on this team, and they're still able to, you know, to develop a synergy and work well together. And when they absolutely needed to get a win tonight, they got the victory 113-103. They survived a bunch of runs by the Pistons. You know, the Pistons had every opportunity to get back into this game and to win it, and the Celtics thwarted any thought of that. So if you want to talk about it, give us a call, 347-215-7771. We have some time for you to call in and give your thoughts on this game and maybe what's going to happen next week with the Celtics, because there's only 4 games left. Next Wednesday against the Bucks is the last game of the season already. It seems like just yesterday that this season started, and already it's the end of the regular season next week. But some tough games. You got 2 away games and 2 home games. You're in Cleveland on Friday, then you come home and play Cleveland on Sunday afternoon. Then you play at home against the Raptors, and then away against the Bucks. So as I said earlier, Tim, you know, obviously there is a slight expectation that these teams might rest their starters, maybe not play them at all. You know, we might see LeBron and Kyrie and Kevin Love and those guys on Friday, but maybe Sunday those guys get a rest or, you know, play minimal minutes, that kind of thing. Same with the Raptors. I mean, obviously they're sitting pretty right now in the third spot, and they will they be playing Washington?
They could be
Washington
playing
Washington or Milwaukee. Yeah, Milwaukee. Okay. Yep. Yeah, I'm sorry. So Washington has that fifth seed locked up, so they'll face the Bulls. So they'll face the Milwaukee Bucks. So they could be resting their players. You know, they're not going to move up or down either way. And then you have that last game against the Milwaukee Bucks. But right now, you're still a couple of games behind them. The Celtics, you know, I mean, if they somehow win 4 games in a row and Milwaukee loses a couple games, there's still the opportunity for them to get into that spot as we sit right now. What are you expecting out of the Celtics in 4, you know, on paper tough games? Just depends on who's going to be playing for the opponent. But what are you expecting out of this team in the last 4 games of the regular season for them to really secure their spot in the playoffs?
I would love to see them win 1 of the 2 against Cleveland and 1 of those 2 final games. In an ideal world, they would go 3-1, potentially mm-hmm. even, I mean, if we really want to live out our fantasies, if the Celtics could overtake the 6th, if they could take the 6th seed from Milwaukee and end up playing Toronto in the first round, oof. I mean, that would be a beautiful thing. But I see them probably losing the game in Cleveland. I think they have a good shot at winning in Boston, especially if LeBron and maybe Kevin Love sit. Kevin Love has dealt with some injuries this year, so I wouldn't be shocked to see him sit. Same with LeBron. The Raptors, I'm not sure if they'll sit anybody, but, I mean, DeMar DeRozan, since coming back from his injury, hasn't been quite the player that he was prior to it. And mm-hmm. the Raptors haven't been quite the team they have been. I mean, the Celtics won that game, obviously, last Saturday, a great win. And then the Bucks, obviously, just haven't been playing quite up to par. So I see the Celtics probably going – I mean, the pessimist in me says 2-2, and the optimist says 3-1. So let's say I see them going 3-1 in those last 4 games.
Yeah, I think that's pretty reasonable to suggest that 2-2 is how they'll finish up. I mean, like I said, I expect that you know, that everybody will be playing for the Cavaliers on Friday night, but maybe not Sunday, or maybe flip flop. You know, I don't know if I'm not looking at Cleveland's schedule. I don't know if they play, you know, if they're coming off a back to back or anything like that, but. Toronto, I agree with you there. You know, I don't necessarily see that they have any reason to sit anybody. Again, you know, they are sitting pretty in their spot, so not like they have to go out and get a victory to move up to the second spot or avoid dropping to the fourth spot or something like that. So since it's the second to last game of the season, I guess anything is possible. And that last game against Milwaukee, obviously there's going to be some seeding. There could be some seeding implications to that game next Wednesday. So that could very possibly be one of the best games of the season.
Yeah.
Milwaukee and Boston basically battling for, we hope, battling for that sixth spot. That would be a fantastic way to finish the regular season. Milwaukee is playing Cleveland right now. I don't know if you have an updated score there. Obviously, I'm working at a disadvantage, but...
Right. I got 97 Cleveland, 91 Milwaukee with less than 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So,
okay, so that would put Milwaukee in another loss and put the Celtics one game closer to that 60. That would be something. And then, well, after tonight, the Bucks have 4 games left, but they have to face the Knicks Friday. At Madison Square Garden, but they have to face the Brooklyn Nets on Sunday. So there's another, matchup against that Celtics basically want both those teams to lose. One
right.
of those teams is going to win. And then, of course, they face the Bucks next Wednesday. So it's exciting. Mad Dog was talking about it when he was on the line earlier, Tim. They've been exciting to watch. Obviously, last season, was not very fun to watch. It was not very fun for us at CLNS Radio to cover this team because they were losing and tanking, if you will. If you want to use the T word, we tend not to want to use the T word around here. Certainly not this season. They made tough trades. For the fan base to lose a guy like Rajon Rondo, who everybody. Not everybody, but most people were very big fans of and wanted them to build around. There was a whole discussion about Kevin Love maybe coming here and making that trade. For them to be where they were last season and then coming back to where they are now has been a very exciting run. Been very exciting. I mean, I myself have watched pretty much every game since the Rajon Rondo trade, mostly because I find Isaiah Thomas very exciting to watch himself, but the whole team is very exciting. They played an exciting brand of basketball. Brad Stevens is you can see his evolution as an NBA coach on a night-to-night basis, on sometimes a play-to-play basis. So can you analyze from your perspective and from what you're seeing, Tim, on where the Celtics have gone from last season to this season, where Brad Stevens really has a team that's his own now and has a rotation that's working and has a team that's playing hard for him?
Well, I would say, as soon as the Celtics, they played some good games earlier in the season, but as soon as they got rid of Rondo and Jeff Green, I feel like the team was just able to embrace the fact that like we talked about, there was no real star on that team, and they could be selfless and move the ball around. They're in the top 10 in assists per game in the NBA. And in addition to that, I think Brad Stevens is really getting the most out of his players. He's gotten more comfortable with calling plays and such. I mean, the game against Toronto last Saturday might be – and many other games. I mean, the game against the Hawks that the Celtics won with the final shot. I mean, he's become probably the best coach in the NBA with calling a play out of the huddle with whether it's 10 seconds left or 3 seconds left. I think Brad Stevens has come into his own as an NBA coach, and he's really figured out how to optimize what he has with this lineup, which is kind of a bunch of misfits thrown together. And he's really turned it into a team that plays not quite like the Spurs or the Hawks, but in a style similar to those teams, kind of feeding off each of the 5 guys in the rotation.
Do you see this being a successful season for them if they go in and get swept by Atlanta or get swept by Cleveland? Can you is it a successful season? That's a question that a lot of people have. And my co-host on my podcast, The Evening Score, Brian Langford, we've talked about this a lot. Obviously we feel it's good for the younger players to get this experience in the playoffs. But all the time there's the talk about a team, particularly when the Celtics were in contention, it's like, well, if they don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals or they don't get to the NBA Finals, then the season is a failure. Well, if the Celtics don't make the playoffs for whatever reason, if they lose 3 out of 4 of these last 4 games, and Brooklyn and Miami get it, or Indiana and Miami get it, or Brooklyn and Indiana, whatever the case may be, is it a failure of a season? Is it a waste of a season for them to have pushed so hard to get into the playoffs, and then still not end up with a lottery pick or a chance at a number one pick in the draft?
I wouldn't say a waste of a season. Well, what you first said was if they get swept in the first round.
Yeah.
It would be very disappointing to see them exit the playoffs without a single playoff win, just to kind of bolster the confidence of the young players, like you said. I really don't want to see them get swept. If they could take one game against Atlanta or against Cleveland, if they do make the playoffs, I think then that would be anything but a waste of a season. That would just be good experience for all of the players. I think it would make Brad Stevens more, I think it would make him happier to stay here. If they miss the playoffs, then I think you're moving. I wouldn't call it a waste of a season, but I think that's a much bigger disappointment, because you're still looking at a draft pick between 10 and 15, which isn't going to be, Willie Cauley-Stein. It's probably going to be someone more like, ideally Kaminsky from Wisconsin,
yeah.
I think would fit the team pretty well, other than the fact that they already have lanky white guys who fill a similar role.
Yeah, a couple of them. In fact.
Yeah. It's a Celtics specialty.
He had a couple of low post moves on Okafor Monday night, though, that were pretty impressive. I haven't seen that out of Zeller, a little bit. He's got better moves than anyone else, because he's the only one that actually plays on the block. But better than anyone that the Celtics have right now. Those are pretty good moves against Okafor now. Well,
yeah, I just remember watching Kaminsky pull up for a 3 against Kentucky and just saying, that just looked too much like it was Kelly Olynyk or Jarecko. It's just fun to me.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we only have a few minutes left here of the show tonight. You can probably tell me better than I can. I'm only looking at the clock while we have countdown in the studio there.
4.5 minutes left.
All right, so 4.5 minutes left. Tim, it's been great having you on the show here. Before we wrap up this program, obviously we've been partnering with Celtics 24/7, kind of networking partners, if you will, and sharing some content. So since this is your sort of first foray into CLNS radio airwaves, why don't you let our loyal listeners know how they could find some of your work over on Celtics 24/7, and where they could find you on social media so they can keep following you, and just let everyone know how they can get more of Tim Scalfani.
Sure, yeah. First and foremost, if you want to look me up on Twitter, you can look me up. I'm at tsclafani20. Sclafani is S-C-L-A-F-A-N-I. If you want to read some of my Celtics thoughts on Celtics 24/7, you can just search my name, Timmy Sclafani. I should be starting to write for the Fansided Network's Hardwood Houdini, which is another Celtics blog.
Oh, excellent. Great site.
You can hopefully within a week or two, you can check out some of my writing there.
I believe our friend Bobby Kravitsky writes for them as well. Or has
written does he?
As well. I thought so.
Oh, okay. Good.
Great. Yeah. Anywhere else?
If you want to read some of my thoughts about hockey, you can log on over to Beyond the Benches. I did some articles over there last summer. So.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about the Bruins because I think they were losing the last time I checked. And
oh yeah, yeah, they're good.
Yeah, that's going to hurt when Ottawa wins the wild card in the Eastern Conference and in the NHL.
Anyhow, before we wrap up as well, I do want to let you know that if you want to kickstart your new year and challenge yourself to learn something new with a free 10-day trial to lynda.com, you can go to lynda.com/CLNS and get your free 10-day trial. Lynda.com is used by millions of people around the world and has over 4,500 courses on topics like web development, photography, visual design, and business, as well as software training like Excel, WordPress, and Photoshop. All of their courses are taught by experts, and new courses are added to the site every week. I just got an email today with the new courses that they've added this week. So whether you want to set new financial goals, find work-life balance, invest in a new hobby, ask your boss for a raise, or find a new job, or even improve upon your current job skills in 2015, lynda.com has something for everyone. Go to lynda.com/CLNS for your free 10-day trial. But you're definitely going to want to sign up for a membership as well. It's a great way to learn and challenge yourself in 2015. So go to lynda.com/CLNS. So I'm sure we only have even less time now, Tim. So you can go to the Celtics 24/7 website at Celtics247.com. Is that correct?
Yep. Celtics247.com. Okay.
Celtics247.com. There's some great stuff over there, not just from Tim, but from the rest of the crew over there as well. So you definitely want to check them out. And the Twitter handle is at Celtics247.
Yep. That's right.
Excellent. All right. Well, I think that's all the time that we have tonight on the Celtics postgame show. The Celtics have defeated the Pistons by a score of 113-103, and they have moved one step closer to clinching the playoff spot tonight with the victory. They're sitting in the seventh spot, and with Milwaukee losing, they could be a little bit closer to even the sixth spot. So imagine where we were at the beginning of the season with the Celtics and to where we are now, where they're actually not only just sliding in and getting an eighth spot, they have the possibility of getting the sixth spot. I want to thank our callers tonight. Sorry we missed you, Seth, but call in next time. We'll be back Friday night. Mad Dog, as always, and Bobby Kravitsky for helping out running the studio tonight as spilled all over my laptop by my one-year-old daughter, Tim. So that's why I'm having help from Bobby running the studio. So hopefully we'll get that cleared up by the next time I'm on, because it sounds like we're going to be doing some post-game shows for the playoffs. So. Bobby, if you could play us out with a close, that would be fantastic. And we'll catch you next time on the CLNS Radio Celtics postgame show. We'll be back after the game Friday night against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Thank you very much for tuning in tonight, and good night.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNS Radio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.